Gopi jana balava durvaramahani jaya gopi jana balava Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Shahari Yamuna Tiravana Shahari Jaya Radha Damodara Radha Damodara Radhe Jaya Radhe Shama Sundara Radhe Shama Sundara Radhe Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Gurudev, Gurudev, Jaya Jaya Gurudev. Jayam Vishnu Padapanam Sitakachaya Shvetara Shata Shri Shriman Tracy Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Anantakoti Vaishnavinda Ki Jaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Om Shikoho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gora Bhaktivinda Ki Jaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Gita Govardhan Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadweep Dham Ki Jai Gangamaya Ki Jai Jamunamaya Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Damodara Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundara Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 10, Verse 140. Okay. Maria rahete koti shuka sneha acharane. Paramananda hoye jara namashavane. Maya rahati koti shuka sneha acharane. Paramananda hoya jara namashavane. Mariada heti koti shuka sneha acharane. Paramananda hoya jara namashavane. Translation. In conclusion, dealings in affection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead bring happiness many millions of times greater than dealings with him in awe and veneration. Simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord, the devotee is merged in transcendental bliss. That's a most appropriate verse for the beginning of Kartik. We'll read a few more until there's a purport. The context for this is after Mahaprabhu returns to Jagannath Puri and devotees congregate there from different places to serve him, Govinda has just arrived, the servant of Ishwara Puri, who, when his Guru Maharaj departed this world, requested that he go render service to Mahaprabhu, which was awkward for the Lord because Govinda is his godbrother. After saying this, Mahaprabhu embraced Govinda, and Govinda offered respectful obeisances unto Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then continued speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Consider this point. The servant of the spiritual master is always respectable for me. As such, it is not befitting that the guru's servant should engage in my personal service. And yet, my spiritual master has given this order. What should I do? purport by His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. If a guru's servant or disciple becomes godbrother to another disciple, they respect one another as Prabhu or master. No one should disrespect his godbrother. For this reason, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya what to do about Govinda, who is the personal servant of Ishvara Puri, Mahaprabhu's spiritual master. Ishvara Puri ordered Govinda to become Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant. So what was to be done? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was therefore inquiring from Bhattacharya, an experienced friend. And of course, the answer in the next verse is most significant in the culture of Braj Bhakti and Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, "The order of the spiritual master is very strong and cannot be disobeyed. This is the injunction of Shastra, the revealed scripture." Back to 140, please repeat. In conclusion, dealings in affection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead bring happiness many millions of times greater than dealings with him in awe and veneration. Simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord, the devotee is merged in transcendental bliss. This concept was elaborated vastly in Mahaprabhu's very friendly conversation with Venkatabhata when he, in his South Indian tour, enlisted little Gopal, later to be Gopal Bhatta Goswami, in his service. And in that conversation, Mahaprabhu, who is actually very pleased with the highly reverential devotion that Venkatabhata and his family displayed for Lord Narayan, but they had such a friendly rasa, he asked them, in a somewhat humorous way, that your Ishtadev, Lord Narayan, is the emblem of majesty, whereas my deity is a cowherd boy. Very simple. So how is it that the consort, Lakshmi Devi, of your Lord Narayan, would be attracted to my Ishtadev, a mischievous cowherd boy, and give up the unlimited opulences of Vaikuntha in favor of Braj seeking association with Gopal there? Venkat answered the first question with grace. He said, Narayan and Krishna are simply different faces of the same personality. So it does not violate her chastity to be attracted to Krishna. But he wasn't ready for the next questions to follow. After abandoning Vaikuntha in preference for Braj and executing for severe austerities for a long time, why was it then that your Lakshmi was still not able to enter the circle of Rasalila? And then Kut had some realization. He answered, Mahaprabhu, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can understand these things. I'm a simple jiva subject to illusion in limitation. So you please answer. And the answer Mahaprabhu gave was, Lakshmi could not approach Krishna in Braj because she could not give up her conception of being the goddess of fortune, which means reverential worship. And most importantly, she could not follow in the footsteps of the gopis, without which there is no other approach to Sri Shyama Sundara. So, it's not that we ever deride reverential worship, which is so essential in our conditioned state to develop a proper mood of humility in approaching devotional service. And yet, that form of worship, laudable as it may be, falls short of most deeply satisfying the desires of Krishna's heart. And the deepest yearnings in the jiva's soul. Because reverential worship, mandated by rules and regulations, bound to reverence and awe, it keeps love or the beloved at a distance, which is essential in the beginning stages of devotional service. And therefore, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, we have Vaidhi Bhakti, which is rules and regulations to direct and govern our infant Krishna consciousness in a healthy and progressive way. The unique and wonderful distinguishing feature of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is that at the heart of that Vaidhi Bhakti is Raganug. And as our Vaidhi, in worship of the Lord who we address as Mahaprabhu, which is a reverential title, the Lord's feature as the Yuga Avatar, which is one aspect contained within him. When that Vaidhi Bhakti matures, it blossoms into Raganug as the spontaneous emotion awakens within the heart, at which point Sriman Mahaprabhu of Navadvip Dham reveals his alternate feature, the Sri Sri Radha Shyama Sundara of Braj. And then the rules and regulations melt away, having fulfilled their purpose in taking this to the conclusion of spontaneous love with all its creativity, adventure, beauty, sweetness, and charm. To set the scene for the beginning of this most sweet month of Kartik, governed by Kartik Devi, who is a name for the daughter of Kirtika or Kirtida, who is the queen of the month when Damodar is the king, presiding deity. Just to give a little reverential setting and honor the disappearance of Murari Gupta on this day, the Ayurvedic physician from Sylhet, elder to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his classmate in the academy of Gangadas Pandit, who is the great, mighty warrior monkey, Hanuman, always at the service of devotees in their time of need to help them on the path and protect them. And Ram Lila is unique in regards to this verse because it is in between Aishwarya and Madhurya, containing and integrating elements of each. And therefore, the dealings between Lord Ramachandra and Hanuman were just so sweet. And when Hanuman, you know, after Lord Ram's return to Ayodhya, when after thanking the kings who had assembled there, and they left, lamenting that Bharat had called them too late to actually assist in the battle, and that because of that, their kingly might was useless. After those kings departed, a very sweet exchange ensued. When Lord Ramachandra, honoring the monkeys, the chieftains, for their sacrifice, and if you read the Battle of Lanka, what an intensive sacrifice it was. So he rewarded them with sweet words, his loving embrace, and the prasad in the form of his own ornaments and jewels with which he decorated them. And then as he bid them farewell, Hanuman confided in the Lord that, "I don't know how I can leave you." But the Lord had just, you know, instructed him to return to Kishkinda. He requested Lord Ramachandra for the benediction that my life can only endure as long as your story, Ramayana, is sung in this world. And Lord Ram said, "That story will be sung for as long as this world lives, as long as mountains stand and rivers flow. Ramayana will be sung to deliver the souls of this world from their sins." So Hanuman enlivened said, "I will go to the heavenly planets to hear from the celestials Ramayana until the end of the world." And then he departed. Contrast that with Murari Gupta, who had such a sweet and intimate friendship with his younger classmate, Nimai Pandit. And by Nimai's arrangement, because as the Yuga Avatar, which is a Aishwarya function, defeating the Pandits who represented those demoniac philosophies, he inspired Murari Gupta to have a monistic orientation. And he would chide him about that. And then one day, when Murari Gupta was teaching his students in a very earnest and passionate way, waving his hand and shaking his head, emphasizing that Gyan is superior to Bhakti. And everyone was listening with rapt attention at his very eloquent and earnest narration. When he heard from behind him peals of laughter and clapping from little children, and he turned around, and it was Nimai Pandit with his little school friends mimicking him in the most audacious, exaggerated, hilarious fashion. And everyone was overwhelmed with laughter. But you know, this is part of a sequence of events when Lord Gauranga would always try to evoke that very spirited passion of Hanuman to his philosophical riddles. and questions. Whenever Murari looked at the face of Lord Garunga, his heart would melt. And his humility melted the heart of Lord Garunga, so he could not see that passion of Hanuman in conquering Lanka. But this time he's a little upset. Could this be the son of Jagannath Mishra, a respectable Brahmana, disrupting my discourse on the glories of Gyan? I think not. Jagannath Mishra could not have such a disrespectful, uncultured, frivolous and mischievous son as this. Well, Nimai was not going to have his father drug into this debate. So he said, all right, Murari, you can go home now. And I'll see you at dinner time, where you will receive the purport of my lesson. So Murari kind of forgot about it, went home, his wife prepared him dinner. And as he's taking his meal, he hears at the door, Murari, in a very stern and deep voice. And he looked, there's little Nimai, in a very commanding mood. Don't let me disturb you. Just finish your prasad. And then Nimai approached, and looming over him, he performed this most unsavory ritual. He passed urine right on a philosopher's plate. And he was so disturbed. Ram, Ram, what a disgrace. Shame on you. He said, no, it's all right. Everything is Brahman, as you were teaching this morning. And you're such a dunce to teach it in that way. So he was on the verge of becoming upset. But as usual, he looked into the moon-like face of Nimai. And his heart melted, and he had a revelation that this was his Lord Ram. So he ran to Jagannath Mishra's house, and he was watching through the door. Satyamata and Jagannath Mishra were taking turns, just lavishing their affection on Nimai, and he was so controlled by their love. When in comes the elder physician, Murari Gupta, this very respectable Vaidya, and offers his dandavats before that little child. And Nimai was scared. He hid behind the folds in his mother's sari. And Mother Sati was so upset. What are you doing? You're an elder, a senior, and by offering respects to my child, you will bring inauspiciousness upon him. Offer him your blessings. And he looked at Mother Sati. You don't know, but someday you will, how fortunate you are when you realize the actual identity and nature of your son. So they looked at Satya Jagannath Mishra. What is he saying? This sentiment contributes to Damodara Lila, because after Krishna broke the butter pot and was distributing its contents to the monkeys, that was his way of reciprocating. He was thinking, in Ram Lila, I had no way to reciprocate their sacrifice, so I'll feed them butter, which was a beginning. So Murari Gupta was contemplating. You know, all the avatars arrange for the disappearance of most of their devotees before they depart this world to spare them from the pain of separation, that deep anguish. But Lord Ram left Hanuman behind. I cannot bear this anguish of separation from my Lord Garunga. So he took matters into his own hand. He purchased a very aggressive kind of knife, the type used for cutting conch shells. And he concluded in his mind that, you know, I'm so disturbed between the times that I see him and whenever I do see him, this Nimai, I'm filled with such ecstasy. So one time when I see him, to my heart's content, and he leaves, before I'm thrust into the abyss of separation, I slit my throat and depart this world in absorption of his memory. So the next time Lord Gauranga came to see him, he was very grave. Will you be honest with me? Of course. Where's the knife? And he tried to defend himself. He said, my Lord, I cannot bear the thought of separation from you. He said, oh, so you would rather transfer the pain of separation onto me, that I would have to live in this world in separation from you? Whose property is your body, if it's yours? Well, then how could you contemplate assassinating someone so dear to you? So Murari concluded, I better give back the knife. So, Krishna can attract, he does attract Lakshmi. But Narayan cannot attract the gopis, as we see. You know, when they were searching for Krishna, he was hiding. And to play a joke, he became Lord Narayan. And they asked him, where has Krishna gone? And with his forearms, he pointed that way. And they ran off. When Srimati Radharani came alone and came before the pseudo Narayan, his two extra arms melted away. And this is what happens at Alalanath. When Mahaprabhu is feeling separation from Jagannath when he's at Gungicha, he goes to Alalanath, who's a four-armed Vishnu deity, who becomes two-armed Krishna. When Lord Gauranga, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, comes before him. So, the very essence of sweetness, the most innocent form of intimacy, and the most refined exchanges of love, which form Rasa Lila, is actually an answer to an earlier episode when in Braj the sky became covered with those love-laden clouds which herald the advent of the showery season, Varsha. And the milkmaids of Braj were so deeply loved by Krishna because of their infinite love for him, became intoxicated by singing the praises of Sri Krishna. And they worshiped Katyayani, Yoga Maya, who affects the union of the individual soul with Krishna for 1 month, desiring the Gopal become their husbands. So, as a preliminary offer, he stole their clothes to reveal the unveiled beauty of the forms of pure love, which are the sporting ground for Lila, as an assurance that more would follow. So it was Krishna's 8th year when, for those who question the innocence of Rasa Lila, Krishna was 8, Srimati Radharani was 7 years old, which means that those most intimate manjaris were 5 and 6 years of age. Very innocent exchanges of love. So it was when, on the most beautiful night of the year, when the Sharad Purnim moon begins to rise, tinging the eastern horizon red, which reminded Krishna, it awakened romantic desires in his heart, because it's like a husband returning after a long time, anointing He parted in his wife's hair with that red vermilion, and he remembered his promise to the gopis. So at Valpsivat, he called them by name, heard only to each, by the song of his flute, which is really the essence of his heart's ecstasy, taking musical form, broadcasting through the atmosphere, calling by name only those it chooses, which was first of all Srimati Radharani, because without her there is no question of Rasalila. So she came. And then he called the other gopis. And then it was like, it's kind of like the rapture as the Christians envision it. Suddenly all the gopis just disappeared from Braj, because Krishna has stolen their hearts and all their heartfelt virtues, their modesty, their chastity, their shyness, their everything was stolen by the song of the flute. So they ran to Krishna to beg to have those goods returned to them. And they were very surprised that Krishna greeted them in a very formal way. Oh, ladies of Vrindavan, what brings you here? Have you come to see the beauty of the forest? Well, if so, look around and then go home. Because it's unrighteous for you to leave your families in such a controversial manner. So go home. And, you know, they began drawing lines in the sand with their toes and their fingers, and the tears flowing from their eyes, washing off the kaja and the kumkum and falling on the ground, did not affect Krishna in the least. No sympathy from him. Just made him more like mischievous. And the daughters of Braja cried like orphans, abandoned in the forest, forsaken by family, and now rejected by Krishna, after sacrificing everything. Because from the conservative social perspective of Braj culture, they couldn't go home after this. They would be a shame not only to their own family members, but to their villages. They would be forsaken and rejected. And after all that, they go to Krishna and he tells them to go back, as if he wouldn't accept them. So, in the series of events to follow, they induced Krishna to interact with them, and they went for a romantic walk along the bank of Jamuna. And when their loving exchange was just approaching its crescendo, you see, the forest was exquisitely beautiful because of the combined efforts of Vrindadevi and Yogamaya, which induced every aspect of the forest to reveal its utmost charm. And that Yogamaya potency also induced the gopis to feel very special and proud. And suddenly Krishna disappeared, which just deepened the anguish they were feeling. So they searched for Krishna, and they saw his footprints, and they followed them. But then they saw there's two sets of footprints. Anayaradito Ninan Bhagavan Hari Ishwara. And they saw that she is most special. because Krishna lured her into a solitary place, abandoning the rest of us. The reason was that Rasa Leela could not unfold until everyone was perfectly united and harmonized in a similar spirit and mood. But they had come with all different moods, from all different categories. The Rishi Charigopis, the sages of Dandakaranya, who saw Ram as their beloved Gopal, he said, no, I can't interact with you in that way. And the Shruti Charigopis, and the Sadhana Siddhas, and they're all these different camps, and they were all not united in a harmonious mood. But as they're watching, as they're following the two sets of footprints, and then again, there's only one set. Oh, she told Krishna, I'm tired, carry me on her shoulders. And then there's only half of a set of footprints. Oh, now he's standing up on his toes, following her instructions to pick flowers from the branches of the trees. And then they saw the flower petals scattered on the ground. Oh, she's telling Krishna here to decorate her hair and paint artistic embellishments on her cheeks. And then they found that one gopi alone, crying in deep anguish, because she had also succumbed to that influence of Yoga Maya, feeling herself most special. At which point in our lives, whenever we feel that way, Krishna disappears. But when they found her, Srimati Radharani, lamenting so bitterly that she became proud, it was Krishna's arrangement, but she took responsibility. And then the sympathy flowing from all the gopis' hearts for her, and their unanimous acceptance that she is the queen, united everyone in that necessary common mood as a prerequisite for Rasa Leela. And then together they sang the Gopi Gita, highlighting that Tavaka Tarmatam Tapta Jivanam, which so much intoxicated Lord Gauranga that he didn't even realize who was singing, and he embraced the king he avoided like the plague, asking, who are you? And King Pratapurudra, in the guise of a mendicant, said, I'm the most obedient servant of the devotee of your servant, and I desire no other mood or goal than this. So after singing the Gopi Gita, they entered into the depths of the forest where it became so dark they couldn't find their way, and then returned to the bank of Jamuna and did what devotees always do when they don't know what else there is. They chanted Hare Krishna together. And in their deep anguish of separation, Krishna reappeared in a very frivolous mood, which pained them all the more. So these village girls, who know only the duties of rural life, are in fact the origin of the goddess of learning. Not the kind of learning you acquire in your head, but the deeper knowledge that emerges from the love in the heart. You are so far superior in realization to Saraswati. So these village girls, speaking more in the language of glances than words, question Krishna. We see in this world there's three types of lovers. You know, one who reciprocates as he's shown affection, and like a merchant. And then there's one who's more like a parent, more selfless, and simply showers affection whether or not it's reciprocated. And then there's the third class that doesn't reciprocate at all. So which would you say is honest? Which is best? Meaning, which category do you fall into, Krishna? So he elaborated on every category. You know, the first is what's rejected by Prahlad Maharaj, business, the merchant. That's not affection at all. That's purely selfish. The second, like a parent, that's better because it's more selfless. But the third category is what Krishna really elaborated upon. Those who don't reciprocate can be in numerous categories. The optikam, the materially satiated, or the atmaram, self-satisfied spiritually. Or it could be the heartless, or the hard-hearted, or the ungrateful, or the envious. So after Krishna fully elaborated in detail every aspect of the different categories, gopis had questioned, he said, I don't belong to any of those categories. You are questioning whether I am heartless because I don't come the first time my servant calls me. Because I reward my servants, as does a rich man who bestows a priceless treasure on an impoverished beggar. And receiving that treasure, he's so elated, and then I take it away, throwing him in deeper anguish than he was before. And he's so obsessed, he can't think of anything but his lost treasure. That's the category I fall into. I may reciprocate the first call of my servants to give them a taste of my love, which is the initial treasure. And then I take it all away to intensify and heighten their love for me. But the gopi said that, you know, that yugayatam nimeshena, that govinda virahena, that when every moment of separation from you is like a yuga, how could you be so cruel to your devotees? Why did you take so long to return to us? He said, because I have a devotee in Pushkar Dweep who's been performing severe tapasya for millennium, submerged in an ocean of yogurt, and a big fish came along and swallowed him, and he called to me for help, and I had to rescue him. I said, well, did that take so long? But you don't know. A tremendous battle ensued with that demon in the form of a fish, at the end of which I was so tired, I had to go to Svetadweep to take a nap. And then Krishna just lay down in the meadow, which became the milk ocean. He assumed the eight-armed form of Vishnu, Srimati Radharani, became Lakshmi, massaging his lotus feet, and the trees became palaces, and Anantashesh coiled around Krishna's eight-armed form with his thousands of hoods blazing like suns over the gopis' heads. And I saw, maybe he's actually telling the truth. But they still tried to infer in various ways that why, after giving our hearts to you, were you so heartless? And then Krishna began to cry. And the gopis were shocked. And he said, in order to reciprocate my devotee's love by heightening it to its fullest crescendo, and I have to disappear from their vision. But they can cry out in anguish to me, They have each other to join in Sankirtan, and they can express their hurt. Whereas I, in the solitude of their hearts, hiding from their perception, I can't say anything, because that would give up my hideout. I have to, first of all, I suffer 1,000 times more than my devotees in the anguish they feel in separation from me. To make it worse, I can't express my feelings because that would break the separation. But what's worst is when they accuse me of being heartless, indifferent, and cruel. And then the gopis, they saw a depth in the love of Krishna that they had never known before. And then the mood was perfect for Rasa Leela to begin. And Rasa Leela, as is reflected in this world, in the stellar system, where the center is the pole star, around which dance the various suns, which have their various moons or planets dancing around them. And the planets are circumambulated by their respective moons, which are circumambulated by their respective satellites. The whole cosmic dance is a reflection of Rasa Leela, demonstrating the harmony that can be found only when Krishna, who's represented by the pole star, is in the center of all our talks, thoughts, songs, and devotions. And to reciprocate the gopis' love, Krishna expanded this Sharad Purnim evening into a night of Brahma, lasting millions and billions of years. And in that dance, the constellations altered their course to follow the steps of Krishna's dance, and time stood still. Or was it the time was adjusting itself to accommodate the Rasa Leela? And when that dance finally came to an end, as it must, and the gopis returned to their homes, the other aspect of yoga's Maya's influence is their families completely forgot that they left for the evening. They welcomed them back as if nothing had happened. It was just a regular morning in Braj to their family members, who received them back with more affection than even before because of their increased love for Krishna. So, in Chaitanya Leela, this is reenacted every night in the house of Srivas Thakur, where even Advaita Acharya, who is that? Karnadakshay Vishnu, was dancing in the gestures and moods and steps of a Braj Gopi. Because in Mahaprabhu's association, because as Krishna confessed in the questions and answers preceding Rasa Leela, I cannot reciprocate your unlimited love, therefore let your own glorious deeds be your only compensation. But Krishna is a gentleman. He is not remiss to remain a debtor forever to his devotees. He can't reciprocate because as the ashraya, the object of love, he can't know the heart of the vishaya, the shelter of love. Furthermore, Krishna's love creates pastimes in which he relishes the love of his devotees, which he reciprocates by more of his self-invented pastimes to take more and more of their loving affection. To reciprocate, to give of himself, to sacrifice, is not Krishna's nature as the Vishaya. Furthermore, Krishna's love, albeit in varying forms, is dispensed to all souls of creation, in contrast to the gopi's love, which is focused exclusively upon him. So for Krishna to actually reciprocate, he would have to take on a different identity, a different role, a different mood, a different archetype, a different paradigm. So he chose Srimati Radharani as the model for his love to emulate. Because in her heart, all the love of all the devotees of all times and all ages and all planets and all rasas, Hanuman, everyone, is contained. And by emulating her love, Krishna could reciprocate with his devotees, more than reciprocate, and sprinkling everyone with Braj Bhakti, he more than reciprocated. So what does this have to do with our daily struggles to chant Hare Krishna and follow Vaidhi Bhakti with its rules and regulations? And when we come to Krishna consciousness and experience that introductory offer, and everything is so blissful, sweet, and nice, and then Krishna withdraws himself, and we question, is he heartless, hard-hearted, ungrateful, or cruel? We can remember the Rasa Lila. When we question Krishna's reciprocation in the dark night of the soul, when he seems so far away and your friends advise you, just forget him. What is the message for Rasa Lila in our struggles in Vaidhi Bhakti? This is Krishna's reciprocation. This is his love. That he draws us into that realm of separation where the external world becomes irrelevant and you search the depths of your heart for signs of Krishna's love. And when you find him there, when he reappears, everything ends in bliss. So Krishna is uncontrollable in that the more love he receives, the more he demands. He never catches up in his reciprocation with his devotees. He reciprocates, as Lord Gauranga, and who enriches and blesses all services with the exceptional sweetness of Braj Bhakti. So, Kartik is a time for that Rajavrata, taking the vows. Because this month is governed under the direct auspices of Kartik Devi, the daughter of Kirtita, who relishes even more the name Vrishabhanu Nandini. Every service, every sadhana, every vow is reciprocated and enriched with the most exceptional form of sweetness and potency. It's a time when it's recommended. We sacrifice a little of our comfort zone and cultivate a more selfless attitude to please Kartik Devi, who is so dear to the devotees, but loves them more in return. And a time for increased hearing and chanting, especially Dhammadharashtakam, and circumambulating Tulsi, the temple, Govardhan, and Braj Mandala. And most of all, what pleases the queen of Damodar's month more than anything? The same blessing requested by Mararigupta at the Mahaprakash. May I be the servant of the devotees, of the servant of your devotees, and may that Mararigupta, the Ayurvedic physician from Sylhet, cure all our physical and spiritual ailments. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments?
I was always wondering how, since Mararigupta is in Ramlila, how he's such an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his notebooks we use in compiling Chaitanya Charitamrita, as well as Swarupananda.
Just to reiterate, Ramlila is unique in that it's a blend of Madhurya and Aishwarya Bhav. So Lord Ram's exchanges with his devotees is very sweet and intimate, what to speak of Hanuman. And when Hanuman enters into the Odarya Ras of Navadvip Dham, where, once again, whatever Ishtadev the devotees worship, whatever Leela they came from, they all experienced the influence of Braj Bhakti, which made their exchanges more intimate than ever before. And when, as we mentioned, Advaitacharya in the Sankirtan at Srivasangan during the night, which is a replay of Rasalila, was so overwhelmed with the bhav of a Braj Gopi. This is Advaitacharya, Karnadakshay Vishnu, immersed in the bhav of a Braj Gopi, dancing with her gestures and movements. And Lord Gauranga couldn't even control him. He had to take him into a side room and reveal his Aishwarya Prakash to bring him back to his senses. All the devotees were affected like that, creating an intimacy in Chaitanya Lila surpassing anything experienced in Ram Lila or any other Lila. So that made Hanuman in the role of Mararigupta a very intimate, confidential associate of Lord Gauranga.
When, as a devotee here, when one focuses on the greatness of the Lord, then it evokes the submission, which we call Prajna Bhakti or following Guru's revelation. And then you mentioned that when we focus on the sweetness, the affection for the Lord arises in the heart. And then you mentioned that, I'm paraphrasing, but that if we follow the rules, regulation by the Bhakti, then it will mature and transfer us to spontaneous, in a sense. You gave what I read, Chaitanya Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book, that Mahaprabhu himself, seeing that your servitorship has matured, then he will take you to Vrindavan. He himself display as Radha Krishna. Am I understanding correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My question is in that, is that transformation will be automatically? I don't have to...
Srila Prabhupada said it will be automatic.
Okay. That is wonderful. Or I should be...
When Srila Prabhupada was presented with any question of this nature, such as, you know, the repeated questions which he didn't always appreciate about Swarup, the very famous one being in Vrindavan, the devotee, he was actually struggling with his vaidhi. He asked Srila Prabhupada, and he tried to act very eloquent. What about Swarup? Srila Prabhupada said, don't talk about that. You have so many bad habits. Concentrate on purifying yourself by vaidhi. But in other exchanges, he would just say, don't worry about Swarup. It'll come. Just follow your vaidhi bhakti, and everything unfolds automatically from that. This is the unique gift of Varga-anga. Simply by following the vaidhi bhakti, which is Aishwarya Bhav, the Madhurya will automatically unfold within the heart. Srila Prabhupada emphasized, it's automatic. You don't have to do anything else or go anywhere else. Simply chant Hare Krishna according to the rules and regulations, and you will find yourself one day in the sweet and holy groves of Braj without understanding how this happened. You don't need to.
Thank you. Sripad Barsana Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Namo Narayana. Thank you.